In 2018, the body of 24-year-old Toya Cordingley was found on a secluded beach in Australia's far north. Now, the man accused of her murder is facing trial. Rajwinder Singh has pleaded not guilty, and in the case of Toya's murder, we'll bring you all the details from the courtroom as he fights the charges in this highly anticipated trial. Search for the Case Op podcast in the ABC Listener or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
We don't watch as much live TV as we used to, now that we're all streaming our favourite shows whenever we want. But occasionally, there are moments when live TV brings us together. For those special events that we're all invested in, like the Olympics or award ceremonies or the football grand finals. One thing you'd never expect to see broadcast on live TV is an assassination. But that's exactly what an unsuspecting audience saw when they tuned into late night TV back in 2023. Picture this. It's Saturday night around 10 p.m. You're putting your feet up after a long day, blissfully zoning out in front of the TV. On screen, a live news report is underway. Police are escorting two prisoners to hospital for a medical checkup. The area in front of the hospital is abuzz with reporters. Cameras, microphones, flashing lights. But why? Why is there so much attention being paid to this routine visit? And why is it being broadcast live on TV? Well, it's all because of who the prisoners are. Getting ready to have his blood pressure taken is the notorious gangster and former politician, Atiq Ahmed. Alongside him, also in chains, is his brother. Atiq wears a white shalwar kameez. Handlebar moustache curls across his broad, disgruntled face. Atiq Ahmed's story is catnip for the local reporters. A feared thug turned high-flying politician, now a disgraced mafioso cornered by his enemies. Atiq and his brother are handcuffed to each other. The handcuffs attached by a chain to one of the police officers. The prisoners and their police escort shuffle along slowly, awkwardly. The media scrum rushes in to catch a glimpse of the man at the center of so many headlines. Reporters crowd the pair, shoving microphones in Atiq's face. All the while, the cameras are rolling, beaming the footage to millions across India. The brothers give curt replies to the questions shouted at them from the press pack. Atiq Ahmed is mid-sentence when three men push forward. Reporters jostling for a better position, or so it seems. Like everyone else in the media scrum, they're holding microphones and notepads. They even have press IDs. But these men aren't reporters. These men are assassins. In an instant, one of them pulls out a gun and holds it to Atiq Ahmed's head. Hello, my friend. I'm Aslan Pahari, and this is Assassins, the show where we tell the stories of history's most shocking assassinations. And today, a primetime assassination broadcast to millions live on TV. The cold-blooded killing of a criminal mastermind turned lawmaker, shot in the head at point-blank range while surrounded by a police escort. Was this a hit by a rival gang, or one of Atiq Ahmed's many disgruntled victims seeking revenge? Perhaps there was something bigger at play. Today, we're diving into the politics of India's most populous state, Uttar Pradesh, to tell the story of Atik Ahmed. His rise to the heights of political power and his fall in the most public of public executions. Atik Ahmed was born in 1962 in the crowded lanes of Allahabad, now called Prayagraj, a city in the center of India's Hindu heartland, Uttar Pradesh. Atik's family was poor in every way that mattered. They didn't have a lot of money, sure, but they also came up short in another, arguably more important currency, reputation. In a city where connections mattered more than qualifications, Atik quickly learned that fear earned him more respect than good grades. By the time he was a teenager, Atik Ahmed was hurtling headfirst towards a life of crime. It's said that his first crimes involved stealing coal from trains to sell for profit on the black market. But it wasn't long before he stepped it up a notch. At just 17 years old, an age at which most boys are thinking about school or cricket or romance, Atik was accused of murder. It was his first appearance in a police file, but it wouldn't be his last. Local police call men like Atik history cheaters, criminals with a long record. Over four decades, Atik Ahmed had hundreds of cases brought against him. And we're not talking about parking fines or petty theft. Think extortion, kidnapping, and murder. And he was thought to be implicated in many more crimes where the victims were too afraid to speak out against him. But as the years went on, Atik proved himself to be more than your average street thug. He was smart. He knew that fear won elections in this state and that crime and politics often walked hand in hand. And he wanted a slice of that action. So Atik Ahmed decided to get into politics. To do that, his bad boy reputation needed quite a bit of rehabilitation. He seemed to get serious, trading gang colours for party flags. He joined whichever political party would have him at the time, switching sides on more than one occasion. In 1989, at just 27 years of age, Atik Ahmed won his first election. And just like that, a man once hunted by police became a state lawmaker. The reaction to his election victory was mixed. A lot of people still feared this notorious gangster, and fair enough. But others hoped he could protect them in a city ruled by chaos. Many of his constituents, especially local Muslims, saw him as a Robin Hood-style figure who would help the poor, be it by paying for weddings, handing out money for Eid celebrations, or by buying books and uniforms for kids starting school. Over the years, Atik Ahmed's political ambitions continued to grow. From that first election victory in 1989, he held the seat in Prayagraj for five consecutive terms. In 2004, he turned his attention to the national stage, running for parliament. And he won. Elected as a member of parliament in the Phulpur seat, that seat once held by India's first prime minister, Nehru. A former street thug now sat in India's highest lawmaking body. But just because Atik Ahmed had leveled up his career, it didn't mean he'd cleaned up his act. There were whispers, rumours implicating him in heinous crimes. Court cases kept being brought against him and going nowhere. Nothing ever stuck. All the while, he continued to rule over his own personal fiefdom. His thugs roamed free. Police either turned a blind eye or had their silence bought. It had been an incredible rise to power for a man born into poverty and brought up in a life of crime. But in 2005, just a year after he was elected to the National Parliament, it all began to unravel for Atiq Ahmed. To accept his new position as an MP, Atiq Ahmed had to vacate his seat in the state legislature. In true feudal fashion, Atiq Ahmed anointed his beloved younger brother, Khalid Azim, as his chosen successor in the seat. But not everyone was on board with this edict. Standing in Atiq's way was a man called Raju Pal. Now, before you get all starry-eyed, Raju Pal was no hero. Like Atiq Ahmed, he was a gangster. He'd even run with members of Atiq's crew before. Raju Pal also wanted that seat in the state legislature, the same seat that Atiq had promised his younger brother. So Khalid Azim and Raju Pal went head-to-head in the by-election. And Raju Pal won. Atiq Ahmed was never one to take a loss lying down. It's January 2005. Raju Pal is driving through Prayagraj when two vehicles pull in front of his car. A group of men jump out with guns and start firing at Pal, still sitting in his SUV. The hit complete, the men flee the scene, and bystanders grab Pal, bleeding out, and drive him to the hospital. On their way, the hitmen return, seemingly to make sure they got the job done. They shoot Raju Pal again, pumping his body with 19 bullets. He had been married for just over a week. When by-elections for the seat in the state legislature were held again, Khalid Azim won. Word on the street was that it was Atiq Ahmed who ordered the hit on Raju Pal. But for months, there was no hard evidence. Until an eyewitness came forward, a man called Umesh Pal. By now, everyone knew what Atiq Ahmed was capable of. But Umesh held his nerve and testified against him. Soon after he testified, Umesh Pal was kidnapped, beaten, and threatened. He was allowed to live, but he never stopped looking over his shoulder. In 2009, Atiq Ahmed was convicted for kidnapping Umesh Pal and was thrown into jail. Not that being in prison affected his gangster lifestyle. Atiq continued to run his criminal empire from behind bars, defying those in power from the inside. He made calls, arranged deals, gave orders, all from inside his prison cell. In 2012, he even filed his nomination to contest the state election from inside jail. He applied for bail at the High Court so he could run his campaign, and 10 sitting judges recused themselves from the bail hearing. Indian media reported their terror at the prospect of running afoul of Atiq. How bad do you have to be to scare 10 judges? The 11th judge granted Atiq bail, and he was free to campaign. But for all his power, he couldn't convince the people to go to the polls for him. He lost, and the person who stole the victory, who won the vote, Rajupal's wife, the woman he'd made a widow after pumping her husband's body with 19 bullets. By the late 2010s, India's politics were shifting. A new generation of leaders promised to clean up crime, and old-school crims like Atiq Ahmed were in the crosshairs, their corruption and violence no longer acceptable. Atiq's rise to infamy had been a fire, fast, hot, and impossible to ignore. But that fire had singed too many rivals, burned too many bridges. And before long, it was burning out of control. In February 2023, Umesh Pal, the man who testified in the Rajupal murder case and then was kidnapped and beaten on the orders of Atiq Ahmed, was murdered. The hit, captured on CCTV, goes down as Umesh was arriving home. He and his security guard are getting out of their car when another man, holding a gun, starts shooting. A few other men emerge and follow suit, until a bomb goes off, enveloping the surrounds in a cloud of smoke. It was a hit that shook the state, and all eyes turned to Atiq Ahmed. Atiq, his wife, his brother, and his son were all charged with murder. Atiq and his brother were already in jail, but authorities believed they had arranged the hit from behind bars. This time, no one was backing off. The government was furious. In the state assembly, when the opposition brought up the lawlessness in Uttar Pradesh, citing Umesh Pal's murder, the chief minister had no mercy. He told the House, "We will grind the mafia into the dirt." A veiled threat from the most powerful man in Uttar Pradesh. Uttar Pradesh, or UP, is an Indian state with a rich and ancient cultural history. But for decades, it's been a hotbed of organized crime. UP state governments have gone to great lengths to tackle these gangland wars, but they often seem to do so without due process, breaking the law to uphold the law. What could possibly go wrong? The way they do this is through what have become known as encounters, shootouts between police and criminals. But they're essentially extrajudicial killings, where police claim that criminals shot at them or tried to grab a police weapon and use that to justify killing the crims. Uttar Pradesh has become notorious for these killings. Over a two-year period, so-called encounters claimed the lives of 103 criminals and only 5 police officers. So when the chief minister told the House, "We will grind this mafia into the dirt," Atiq Ahmed heard the threat loud and clear. He was worried that police were planning to kill him during one of these encounters, and that it'd go down during one of his transfers in and out of prison. And everything that happened next only confirmed these suspicions. A decision was made to transfer Atiq Ahmed back to his home state of Uttar Pradesh. He begged the court to stop this transfer, arguing that his life was in danger at the hands of local police. The Supreme Court heard his plea and rejected it. "The state machinery will take care of you," they assured him. I think being taken care of by the state machinery was exactly what Atiq was afraid of. As he was being transferred to jail in Uttar Pradesh, Atiq told reporters, "Hatya hatya," which means murder, murder. "Mujhe inka program maloom hai. Hatya karna chahte hain. I know their program. They want to murder me." He couldn't shake the feeling that he was going to be gunned down in an encounter with police. Then, in mid-April 2023, Atiq's 19-year-old son, Asad, was gunned down by police. Another encounter in Uttar Pradesh. A shootout. The police said he was trying to run. When Atiq heard of his son's death in court, he broke. For the first time in years, Atiq Ahmed was shaken. He wept openly. He asked to attend his son's funeral, but that application was denied. And just 2 days later, on the evening of April 15, 2023, police transfer Atiq Ahmed and his brother to hospital for a routine medical checkup. A loud crack splits the air, followed by another and another. Assassins, disguised as reporters, shoot Atiq Ahmed in the head at point-blank range. All the while, cameras broadcast the assassination to millions watching live on TV. Atiq drops to the ground, his white turban askew in the mud. But before anyone can register what's just happened, more shots ring out. His brother collapses. In just 16 seconds, the gunmen fire dozens of bullets. Atiq and his brother lie motionless in the dirt. Blood pools on the hospital driveway. The police officers are stunned. The gunfire stops, and then something unusual. The shooters don't run. Instead, they stand over their victims, weapons still warm, and they raise their hands. One of them shouts, "Jai Shri Ram," a religious cry exalting the Hindu god Ram. The assassins are quickly apprehended, arrested on the spot, and they don't resist. Within minutes, the killers' names flash across TV screens. In a country used to political chaos, this was something else. The morning after, Prayagraj is a ghost town. Bazaars, usually humming with crowds preparing for Eid, are eerily quiet. Police are stationed on most streets, the internet is down, and nobody wants to talk about the murders. For over 40 years, Atiq Ahmed had been a symbol of power and fear, a monster in the eyes of many. But now, he was gone. Assassinated by three young men no one had ever heard of. The killers told police they wanted fame, that they'd been inspired by another infamous gangster. But questions remain unanswered. How could a prisoner be assassinated in the middle of a police escort? How did a simple hospital visit turn into an assassination broadcast to millions on live TV? There's never been an answer, and 2 years later, the investigation continues. A 5-member judicial panel in Uttar Pradesh ruled that there was no police involvement in the killings. Good thing none of these judges recused themselves. Charges have been filed against the three shooters, who remain in jail, but no trial has been set. Only one of the accused has retained a lawyer. According to police, the others are content to remain in jail. And the lawyered up one? Well, his lawyer says he's innocent, that he's never fired a gun, and that this was a state-managed encounter. So far, there's no evidence to support this assassination being another Uttar Pradesh encounter, but within a couple of months of Umesh Pal's murder, 6 people implicated in the killing, including Atiq Ahmed, his brother, and his son, were all killed. In response to the assassination, a prominent lawyer and politician described how there had been two murders that night. One of Atiq Ahmed and his brother, and one of the rule of law. Assassins is hosted by me, Aslan Pahari. Hannah Jose is the producer. Sound by John Jacobs. Sophie Townsend is our script consultant. Executive producers are Joel Werner, Eric George, and Jessica Ratburn. As well as listening to Assassins, you can watch full episodes of the show on YouTube and Spotify. Those videos are shot and edited by Tejas Bhatt. If there's an assassination you think we should cover on the show, please email us, assassins@abc.net.au. I hope to hear from you soon, my friend.